The following programming is sponsored by Scott Dorsey. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
Welcome to the Scott Dorsey Show. It's about people, good people, doing good things in our community. And now, here's your host, Scott Dorsey.
Good evening, everyone. It is good to be back and live once again. This is Scott Dorsey doing the Scott Dorsey Show. Good people doing good things. As always, it's been a journey. As I said before, I've always wanted to do a show that focuses on positivity, where we're focusing on helping people see the positive things that are happening in our community. And as many of you know, I was doing this for a while in the last year and then had to take a step back. And a lot has happened in that time that I was off. You know, God moves in mysterious ways. And in that process, I've become a pastor once again. And I'm blessed to be the pastor of Macedonia Ministries, which is at 2633 Hillcrest Avenue in East Norriton, PA. And we're asking for anyone who's interested in finding a church that will bless you and where the Word of God is taught and where the Word of God is preached and where we put that Word of God in action in helping people in our community. Please come on out every Sunday at 10 a.m. and be part of our worship service and check us out. If you have any questions of the type of things that we do, please give us a call at 610-279-6240, and our secretaries will answer your call. We're a church that really thrives on being a 24-hour, 7 days a week, 365-day church. And so Macedonia Ministries is where I am. But my love and passion of talking to people and doing the things that I'm doing here is part of what I do at Macedonia and also in my life as someone who works in children, youth, and family services. I'm always focused on trying to help people see the good in our community and help others who are in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of poverty, in the midst of homelessness, because they are in need. And our Bible tells us in Matthew 25 and all through Acts 16, we see Paul have a vision of reaching out to the Macedonia people and going and do missionary work. And so there is a need and a love and a passion from me to go and help people that are starving for help. And so as we move forward in this program, I look forward to expanding it, being it more involved on Facebook, on Instagram, and all the social media to get feedback from you, to see from those who are listening, those who may respond to the show. You know, I'm always open to being critically reviewed because I want to be able to thrive to do the best that I can. I'm an old athlete, a track athlete, who always thrived on being the best athlete that I could. I'm highly competitive, and I want to be the best at doing this type of show and this type of service for the community. This isn't about me getting exposure. I'm exposed already. I don't need any more. I'm quite happy being who I am. But I want, this vision came from watching the news so much in my life and seeing most of the news, even if the Eagles lost, being negative. And so I wanted to bring some focus on the positive things that are happening and the positive things that we can do. And in the midst of that, also having critical conversations about things that are happening in the church, outside the church, in the community, and occasionally even in sports, which I know everything about sports, no matter who may tell you anything different. But I love talking to people and establishing relationships. And this is another way, I call it a ministry of radio. in which I can reach other people who may not come to our church doors, who may not come to, in our communities, but are there and may listen for whatever reason. And again, I need your input. My email is scottdorseyshow@gmail.com. You can email me and you can be as whatever critical or complimentary as you want. And again, hopefully we can continue to keep and build this show moving forward. I have great hope for it. I thank God for allowing me to come back and be part of doing this again. When I left the first time, it was always my hope to restart it, to redo it, and to even put more passion, more love into doing this type of show. And moving forward, each show we will have different guests from the community, from different areas of life. It can be ministry, it can be police, it can be educators, it can be those in the entertainment industry, sports. But the focus, again, is talking about what folk are doing in the community. That's the impact, because there's a lot of things that are happening, and we always tend to look or highlight the many things that are negative. But and that has to be done. People should know what the wrong things are happening. But most importantly, let's try to look for good people. And there's a lot of great people who are doing great things who get no notoriety, no press, because good things don't always bring press. They don't always want to talk about that. But this show is looking to highlight that, and hopefully we will be successful in bringing that type of information to people, because I think it's needed. And hopefully provide information to those people who are broken, those people who are going through trials and tribulations. This is a place, hopefully, where you can come and hopefully have or be inspired by the information that we provide. Because I recognize there are a lot of people who are going through the storms of life, rather through health, rather through complications in marriages, whatever the issues are. We want you to know there is a way through those situations and through those difficult, problematic storms that you might be facing. So again, this is a show of hope, positivity, focusing on giving you good information about the many great things that are happening. As we move on in this show, I'm starting the way I started before, because I believe that's my roots and it will always be part of who I am. And we'll be talking tonight about what churches are doing in their specific communities to help and guide their people through whatever situations they are facing. And I just want you to know, I don't care what some people may say about the church. Churches are doing positive things and are part of making their community better. If they're not, then that's a whole different issue and a whole different conversation. But I like to believe that many are out there trying to make a difference, not only in the sanctuary, but out of the sanctuary. I often preach about the pulpit moving from the internal to the external. And if you know the Bible, you see that Jesus preached more out of the sanctuary than he did in the sanctuary. He was out and about preaching and touching folk in many different ways. So we're doing what we biblically know and understand. And for those who say, oh, this is just another biblical Bible touting show, yeah, that's where our roots are. But again, we're not afraid to talk about any issue that is relevant in our community. You'll hear us talk about education. You'll hear us talk about different things that are not necessarily always talked about in church that might make some folk nervous, but we got to talk about them anyway. So after the commercial, we will then come back to our guests and introduce them and talk about what the church is doing in the community. Thank you for listening. Let other folk know Scott Dorsey is back and that this show is, again, working and helping, showing good people doing good things. We'll be right back.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog, and I need you to help me take a bite out of crime. Counterfeit products are popping up everywhere. Fake sneakers, fake cosmetics, and even fake pills. Crooks are selling counterfeit versions of just about everything. Last year, billions of dollars worth of counterfeit products were sold in the U.S. Sure, it may seem like saving a few bucks on the things you want isn't a big deal, but counterfeits are usually made in unsafe conditions, potentially using hazardous and even lethal ingredients that could harm you and others. And the money you've paid, it goes right into the hands of criminals and may support child labor, drugs, and even gangs. Smells like big crime to me. So if you still think buying fake products is harmless, think again. And remember, if you don't know where the products came from, how could you know where the money goes? You're smart. Buy smart. Go for real. Learn more at McGruffPSA.org. This message is brought to you by the United States Patent and Trademark Office and the National Crime Prevention Council.
Eleanor steals your heart. She was diagnosed at 5 weeks old, a type of leukemia, and it's associated with Down syndrome. Being able to come to St. Jude was a blessing and the best place for her. Talking to the doctors and nurses, they were on top of it. They got this, we got this, it's gonna be okay, and we're gonna get through this. Here, it's like a celebration of life. There's so much great stuff happening. The doctors and nurses are her best friends, and you can tell that they love her, and you could tell she loves them, and that relationship is just amazing. We're just so grateful for them.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Good evening again. This is Scott Dorsey with The Scott Dorsey Show, and I'm excited to have two of the guests who I consider brothers in ministry and life who have played a very strong role in helping and shaping my journey in ministry and in life. My pastor, and will always be my pastor, Pastor Emeritus of the Macedonian Ministries family and church, Pastor Byron Craig, who was with me when I first started this show, and I had to bring him back as I restarted, and I'm glad that he wasn't so busy for me to be able to bring him back tonight, along with my other good friend, Pastor Michael Stick, from Saints Memorial, the pastor there, I think over 12 years
12
now.
Years, yes.
I've lost track. You look the same as you started, which is not ever. Not a norm. I started this ministry. I had an afro. I don't have one anymore. But I thank God for this opportunity to meet with both of you. You've been a blessing, and you are both very relevant. I use that word. I've used it in the past, of doing things in your community. And I want to start with both of you answering the question of just talking about the communities in which you've worked in and ministered. Both where Pastor in Norristown and Bryn Mawr are two different types of areas, but have some similarities of needs and things of that nature. So I'm going to ask Pastor Emeritus, Pastor Craig, to give us some insight about Norristown and the good and the bad and the things that are needed in that area.
Well, first of all, I want to say I am delighted and I'm overjoyed in being with you, Scott. This is a joy to be able to hear how you are actually taking the things that people would sometimes push aside and not necessarily view as trending or something that's highlighted, but you're taking the time to really accentuate the things that I think are relevant and are important for people to know about, because we get such a sense of negativity and a sense of all is doom, all is gloom, and all is despair. And I think when we begin to talk about our respective communities and we begin to talk about the various ministries and the work that's going on, it gives us an enlightenment. And what you're doing is allowing us to highlight what the news media would not necessarily deem as noteworthy. Well, Norristown, certainly for me, has been an exciting adventure. The assignment that God gave me 32 years ago when I first began certainly is a lot different as in the concluding years of my serving as a senior pastor at Macedonia because the demographics have changed drastically. In fact, Norristown is in the top 100 of the most diversified communities in the United States. So whereas the school district, when I first began, it was 37% African American and a very smaller percentage of Latino. Currently, the school district is 52% Latino and about 37% African American, and then you have white. But even in the housing and the residential, the makeup of the Norristown community is what I call a transient community, because 57% of the people who live in Norristown are apartment dwellers, and 30% of those residents are actually Latino. So when we begin to talk about what is the means by which we connect with the community, it means that we become somewhat aware of the bilingual, you know, issue. So to know that there is a diversity that has taken place means that our efforts and our endeavors to relate to the community means partnership, that we don't have to, in fact, have all of the answers. And that's one of the things that I have learned over the years, to be able to recognize that the kingdom of God is much broader, much bigger than the individual church that I served. And so in partnering with Latino churches and pastors and spiritual leaders in the community, it allowed me, along with other white pastors and African-American pastors, to be more effective, to be more conscious of what it is that we were looking to do in the way of connecting with people where they were.
Pass the stick.
Again, Scott, I want to thank you for allowing us to be on this show today. And Pastor Craig is also my pastor. And we appreciate what you're doing and how you're highlighting the needs as well as the good things that are being done in our communities, because there are a lot of good things being done. As you know, my church is Saints Memorial Baptist Church, located at 47 South Warner Avenue, Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. Very similar to Norristown in some perspectives, but also very different. It's a very affluent area. But something that Pastor Craig said, which is very interesting, there are changing dynamics in our community right now. The demographics are changing. The three-block radius around our church was predominantly African-American. It's no longer that, because of gentrification and many changes right now. It's a very diverse community. We have many Ukrainians that have moved into the area, many Romanians that have moved into the area, as well as many Asians and African-Americans that are still there. So what I learned from Pastor Craig years ago is the first thing you have to do is develop a relationship with the community. We have to develop a relationship. Why? To understand what are the needs, what are the issues, what are the concerns, what's going well, what's not going well in the community. So I spend a lot of time, you know, out in the community. I spend a lot of time with the students. We have a student population. And what's interesting is that that's a very diverse population. These students come from very different economic backgrounds. They come from very different neighborhoods. But as a result of that, they still have a need to know God. They still have a need educationally. And what we're doing is we are trying to meet those needs through the different programs and partnerships that we're building in the community. For example, I'm a member of the Bryn Mawr Hospital Community Advisory Board. And what we have discovered is there are many people that are hungry, even on the main line. They may not talk a lot about it, but they're hungry. And what we do, we partner with Bryn Mawr Hospital. And as a result of that, families are fed at Thanksgiving time. And during Christmas time, we identify three or four families to hopefully they'll be able to have a Christmas, not just gifts, but gifts that they desire. We interview, we talk with these families and, you know, ask them, what's your wish list? So it is a different community. We're finding that you still have pockets of people that don't have as much, but then you have other pockets of the community that have a lot. And what we can do, if we can join the pockets of these populations together, and if we can take the resources that are there and spread it, it can really help the overall community. But it's a community with a lot of potential, a community with a lot of diversity, and a community where God is moving.
And you said a key word, and I know Pastor's always keyed in on this. Everywhere he goes, establishing a relationship with the community is important. A lot of times churches come with a program, but they have no established relationship with the people that are the stakeholders in the community. How, if you were telling a new pastor, how do you establish a relationship within the community? I think that's key. It's a key ingredient that sometimes is often missed.
Yeah.
How do you build that relationship?
I think that you sort of piggyback on the existing members in your church rather than for you as a new pastor, someone new in the community, to go out there and try to connect with people. I think when you actually piggyback on the relationships as well as the influence of people who are in the congregation, you can sort of allow them to guide you to the different places and the different individuals in the community that you would be able to connect with. I know when I first came to Norristown, I sort of piggybacked on the backs of the deacons, but after a while, they sort of didn't made it aware that they weren't related to anyone in the community. So it was the children. And so I would go out week by week in order to go to the different places that the young people knew who were some of the key persons or some of the gatekeepers in the community. And it was there that I began to actually develop a relationship. And it was, who do you know, who do you know, who do you know?
And very similar. Once again, you get to know the community by the relationships that have already been garnered, the relationships that have already been developed. But I believe we have to be visible in the community. I mean, even as a pastor, it's key. It's important and it's critical that our membership, that they're out there, that they're developing these new relationships, sustaining these relationships. But also as a pastor, I have recognized when they see the pastor out in the community, people seem to respond even in a different way. And for example, what we do is we have a community picnic. And at that community picnic, there's a diverse group of people that are there. We have the Lower Merion Police Department. They're there. The Lower Merion Fire Department's there. As I said, the different ethnicities in the community, they're all there. There are people there that are economically doing well and others that aren't. But they're getting to know one another. And as a result of just getting out there, being visible, developing the relationships, having the membership, teaching them how to develop a relationship, discipling them. This is something else I have to say it again that I learned from Pastor Craig, is discipling them to go out and teach them how to develop the relationships. And as a result of that, you just see the community starting to bond. For example, we did something different this year. As I said, there are a lot of Villanova College students and a lot of Bryn Mawr College students on our block. What we have done this year, we had a college day. We had spaghetti dinner for them, and we watched the Eagles play the Atlanta Falcons in the opening game. It wasn't the result we were looking for, but we enjoyed the game. But they came together, so now you have these students who normally are developing other relationships in the community, but they're partying and doing other things. They became tight and closer with the members of our church that live in the community. So that narrowed the gap as far as them becoming closer with one another. So I agree with Pastor, is without a doubt, we have to be out there. We have to have our people out there. We have to teach them, disciple them, train them to develop the relationships. But we have to also show our face, and we have to be out there regardless of what the event is, regardless of, just finding that time to be there.
And I think two key words. One is training. And using those members who are engaged in the community and identifying who they are and then helping and having them to help you train the other members to establish a relationship. Because let's be honest, not everybody is gifted in that area of making relational bonds with other people or in the community. And I think that's really two key things that you have mentioned. And in both of your communities, both of you have mentioned diversity. Diversity of different people, the Hispanic community in Norristown. And again, in your community, Michael, there's people that are in different spectrums of income, all within the same block.
Yes.
And
yes.
So in that midst of diversity, how do you work within those diverse communities? Too many times our churches are one color and can be some of the most segregated places on Sunday morning where you don't see other than one particular race of people. How do we break that barrier of reaching people to feel comfortable to bond together no matter race or economical background?
I think that this is where leadership comes into play, because it's not something that people inherently nor institutionally are accustomed to. Traditionally, people have been somewhat relegated to their respective congregation, and that's the extent and that's the scope of their loyalty and their commitment to their walk with Christ. It's within the context of their respective church. A spiritual leader begins to formulate a larger and a more global picture, as well as a more larger and regional picture of how the church is connected to the respective community. So it begins to take on the assignment of going to different places and different events so that the people can be exposed to not only the information, but to see the interaction that the pastor would have and that the people have with the pastor, to be able to get them to see the benefit of being engaged and being connected to people. It enlightens them. It broadens their scope of what it means to really be in relationship with people, even if it's just the establishing of a relationship. You know, in the initial and the most sincere and the most genuine part of a relationship is when people are genuinely interested in getting to know one another. And though, even though people may stumble, they may fall, they may not necessarily get it right, people can sense and they can see that this is a genuine effort on the part of that spiritual leader to connect with people.
I agree with what Pastor Craig has said, but even to add to that, it's the commonality of God, love, and caring. Mm-hmm. I mean, Scripture made it very clear, for God so loved the world mm-hmm. that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But if you show people that you love them, and more so, I had the privilege of even preaching the retirement banquet for Pastor Craig, and the theme was caring. Mm-hmm. When people know that you care, mm-hmm. that you generally care that they're hurting, that you generally care and recognize that they don't have enough food to eat, that you genuinely care that they're going through difficult times, what happens is, you know, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of their culture, regardless of their background, regardless of where they have come from, that common thread of God, love, and caring really ignites with all people. It really is something that people can grab hold of. It's something that people can relate to. It's something that people are looking and searching for. And when they see that in the pastor, but then they also see that in the membership as well, and you're showing that authentically and you're showing it genuinely, it makes such a difference in meeting the needs of a diverse community. I mean, because hunger, you know, it crosses all spans of groups. You know, abuse crosses all spans of life. But when you're able to help them understand that I care about what's happening in your life, we love you, and God loves you that much more, finding that common thread makes a major difference.
And just to continue with that focus, to care means that you go beyond just the superficial, mm-hmm. yeah. and that there's a genuine walk with the person to identify what specific areas they have need in. Mm-hmm. So if it's an area of learning the English language, if it's in an area of making sure that they have the necessary tools to go to school or the necessary clothing or they have proper housing, there has to be questions and there has to be some kind of engagement for you to be able to really get to know what their needs are. Mm-hmm. And then, and I think that when we begin to start talking about the relation that the community, that the church has with the community, mm-hmm. That's not going to show up in just the members being out in the community. It's also going to show up on the financial report, because if you look at the budget and you look at how much is given to missions, if you look at how much is in ministry, and if you look and see what the ministry lines are as it relates to the development and as well as the interaction with the community, that's going to be the telltale of how effective and how connected you really are to the needs and the issues in the community.
And Pastor hit on something big, if I can mention it, Scott.
Go right ahead.
Is being effective, it doesn't mean you have to reinvent the wheel. For example, there's a need right now, I think is what, about 8 degrees outside? I mean, it feels like 8 degrees.
Absolutely.
There's Code Blue. We collaborated with Pastor Craig and other churches on how can we make sure that the people who are out there in this freezing temperature, that they have a place to go. Mm-hmm. We weren't able, for example, to renovate one of our buildings to house those that are suffering through Code Blue. But at the same time, we are supplying volunteers. We're lending volunteers to help. But what it was, we're collaborating with Macedonia and other churches. Every Saturday, last Saturday of every month, we go out and feed the homeless. But it didn't start with us. It started with us collaborating and walking alongside and aligning with another church on the main line, where now we're going out together. But again, that common thread of God, love, and caring, you know, it surpasses, you know, trying to compete with another church or trying to outdo another church. No, let's have the common thread of meeting the needs of God's people, serving God, serving God's people.
I want to just take a moment there. We're going to take another commercial, and we'll come back to this conversation. And certainly, I think it's important, all the things that you've mentioned. And also, I want to talk about, you know, certain groups in the community, from our school districts, from those groups who are doing active work in the community, nonprofit groups, and police, how the church works with those, you know, those specific areas. We'll get back and we'll start talking a little bit about that. But right now we'll take a commercial and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Vivica Fox. For more than 100 years, American Humane has been helping our best friends in their worst times, during hurricanes, tornadoes, and increasingly wildfires. They're real heroes to these animals. But Mother Nature isn't the only danger that animals face. Sometimes it's human nature that's the greatest threat. Each year, more than 6 million beautiful adoptable animals are being abandoned, and more than 1 million are euthanized before they can be rescued. These animals need heroes too. Heroes to open up their hearts and homes and to give them the love they deserve. Be a hero to an animal in need. Consider becoming an American Humane Rescue Volunteer or adopt from your local shelter. Visit AmericanHumane.org to find out how you can be a hero and help our best friends in their worst times.
Women Heart is in a race to save lives. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. It's 80% preventable, if you know the facts. Millions of women are living with or at risk of different types of heart disease, like AFib, which is a type of irregular heartbeat. It affects both women and men, but women with AFib have a higher risk of stroke and death than men. Get educated. See your doctor. Know the facts. Diet and exercise are key to staying healthy. Know the risks. Women Heart does something really unique, solely focusing on women and providing peer-to-peer support. To win this race, we all have to do it together. Our hearts beat as one. To learn more, visit womenheart.org.
Good evening again. We thank you for, again, hanging out with the Scott Dorsey Show. We have Pastor Michael Stick and Pastor Emeritus Byron Craig, who are with us tonight, talking about how the church can be involved in the community. I'll share one story where some of you may know I happen to serve as one of the chaplains for Tredyffrin Police, which is on the main line in the community and where I live. And, you know, I've always been, as Pastor Craig and Pastor Stick has talked about, building relationships in communities. And you never know how in your roles of chaplain mm-hmm. or other areas in which you are working in the community may impact not only those officers or people you work with, but also the community. And I happened to be the other day working. I got a call from the police. A gentleman had got hurt at one of the factories in our community, and another man had called on the police to talk to their chaplain. In this small community, yeah. it happened to be one of my church members from Macedonia Ministries who once heard that I was the chaplain. He felt a whole different impact from us being able to actually pray right there in the factory where a man was seriously hurt in a difficult situation that impacted the factory so much, they closed the factory for the day. Mm-hmm. And so I see that as a role we can play in, you know, again, spreading the gospel, but also being there to comfort people in difficult, mm-hmm. trying times. And there were people who were devastated seeing a man who was literally almost crushed to death in before their eyes. And here we are in this role to be able to impact. And the police, one of the first things they did was call Rev, and he'll come and talk to whoever needs that part of guidance in this difficult time. And that's the role I think we can play in the role. You know, there's people that say the police are this or the police are that. And we all in our areas have different communities, police, those who are working with the homeless, those in the school districts. What are some of the main issues that are happening in your community that you are trying to play an impact in helping and making a difference in your communities, rather as police, mm-hmm. schools, or whatever? It may be different in each of your communities.
Well, I know for Norristown, one of the issues that has been a ongoing issue certainly would be converse to Ardmore or Lower Merion is the education. Mm-hmm. Whereas Lower Merion is at the very, seemingly the top of the list perennially, Norristown struggles at being one of the lower school districts in Montgomery County. Our role and certainly our goal is to be able to see equity, to see justice in the approach of African-American students in particular, because as there's this influx of dollars that has come into the Norristown School District, it is primarily as a result of the Latino community in order to provide the English-speaking languages and certainly the programs that can best equip the Latino the student. However, in terms of looking at the test scores for African-American, there's a wide chasm between the white students and the African-Americans. And so we are trying to provide a method and certainly a dialogue with the school district and the superintendent to ensure that there is no neglect and that there is accountability in ensuring that the strategy of not just growth, but achievement in the way of African-American students in the school district. Secondly, we have been working with the homeless in terms of looking at where and how there can become a 24/7 shelter in the Norristown mm-hmm. as well as the Montgomery County area. We have been working with certain organizations in the Norristown area because we feel as though in order for us to be most effective, we've got to work with people who do this on a regular and a daily basis. And I think that that might be something that churches can really gain a sense of strength, is to know what areas you are most proficient in and to identify the areas that you can partner so that you can allow those who have a regular, ongoing commitment to doing it, that we can partner with them. So primarily with the school district, with the homeless, and also we work with the bereaved and the grieving in the community.
It's interesting, very similar to Pastor Craig. We have a challenge of educational equity, even on the main line. Mm-hmm. And I am working closely, and other pastors on the main line, working closely with the local school districts to make sure that there's, to narrow that gap with the inequity and disparity, you know, with our students. Yeah, that chasm with the grade points, it's still is a big gap when it comes to many of our African-American students. But we're trying to make sure that there's equity for all the populations, you know, on the main line. As a matter of fact, right when I leave here, I'm headed to a school board meeting, you know, just to show support and to get a better understanding of what we can do and how we can partner. But there is a challenge with equity when it comes to the educational systems. We're working closely with the superintendents and the principals of the school. And we also have collaborated with them. What's interesting, when you tie education and food together, it's a major challenge. And during the summer, so many children who were receiving their food from the school district, well, that's gone. So we have what we call boxed lunch and book program, where we collaborate with the principals and teachers in the school district. And what we provide for them is food, but also it prepares them for the upcoming semester. A lot of STEM is taught, the science, technology, engineering, and math. And these students, they can be assured that they're going to get a meal, but even more so, they have the opportunity and they have the privilege of making sure that there's a meal that they're going to eat, and also have the educational and study background over the summer to prepare themselves for September. So there's a lot that we're doing with the school district and also with the police department. We have a new police chief in the area. I was on a peer group to help to determine what type of criteria that we want to see in a new police chief. As a matter of fact, in a couple of weeks, Scott, I hope you can make it. We're going to have an opportunity for the ministers on the main line to meet with the new police chief. And I just recently just met with the community relations officer, where we share what's going well, what's not going well, some issues every now and then. It's, I mean, something as simple as safety. We're on a one-way street, and people fly up that street against the you know, the flow, and it's dangerous. So we'll talk about those things. We'll talk about, you know, are there some issues with, I mean, believe it or not, there's gun violence on the main line as well. Mm-hmm. Although it's an affluent area, we still have some of the same challenges as other areas may have. So we just try to develop the relationships. We just try to work together so that we can resolve some of these concerns.
I want to make one thing clear, though, that in the way of our working with the community and with the various organizations, there has to be an upholding of the banner of Christ.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. irrespective yes. of how much service we offer, mm-hmm. we are distinct. We are set apart in the way of other organizations that might do similar things, that the uniqueness of the gospel that we are the ambassadors of presenting as well as demonstrating has to be in the forefront of our motivation. It has to be at the forefront of our communication, you know, as far as people knowing what's our motivation, that it is in the awareness of I was a wretch, I was unsaved, and Christ saved me, and that in the same way that Christ saved me, mm-hmm. he's able to save you. And I think that we have to make sure that we don't get swept in or lulled into becoming a social agency
yes.
that provides services and that works with various organizations. I think that as a pastor who is aware of the power of prayer, that when I go into the superintendent's office, I'm going to let him know I want to pray with you. Yes. I want to pray and to bring into play the very power of God. And so irrespective of how cordial or how compliant we are in terms of working with these groups, I never want to lose the awareness, them to lose the awareness that I believe in prayer, and I'm not praying in whatever name there is. I pray in the name of Jesus to let folks know that it's the name. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus.
And I have to agree. We can't lose sight mm-hmm. of that, that Jesus Christ is the center of our joy. Jesus Christ is the center of everything. He's the change maker. Mm-hmm. So, you know, although we're, you know, socially we're getting to know each other, what we bring to the table is a God that's able to do above and beyond what we can think or imagine.
Amen. And I think that's a key thing, and both of you said in your comments there, that it's a wonderful thing to do the outreach, but our focus in and who we are is our love for Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And demonstrating what Christ did and is doing through us. Mm-hmm. And that we can't sacrifice that just to get along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is part of our core of why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as we move forward, I think, you know, we can certainly do outreach. But as Pastor said, and I've seen him, we've been out many times mm-hmm. eating, and he would ask, even the waiter, what can I pray for you?
Yes, yes.
Just that simple question. And people respond to it, that's who we are, because we have to understand and appreciate people are going through things, but that's who we are.
Mm-hmm. And he has that same practice even with us. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll call me mm-hmm. early in the morning mm-hmm. just for prayer. Mm-hmm. He'll call me to remind me that that God will take care of the
And that's,
the situation.
That's where you get it, because you called me.
And I
early.
Call you, and I call you very early, and then you call me. But the common thread that we share with one another is mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, and, right. I, and I'm glad you brought that up. We have to be intentional about mm-hmm. recognizing that our common thread is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
And spreading that's where that the gospel.
Yeah, and spreading
that gospel mm-hmm. through mm-hmm. word and through action.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. and that's who we are. Mm-hmm. And I've learned, even with, you know, the other day I had someone who was watching my dog, and we got into a conversation of God. Mm-hmm. And I have a time now I'm going to meet with him and his family mm-hmm. to talk about God. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. here he was doing something completely out of just helping me with this service, but we got into a conversation about God, intentional. On
yes,
my part,
yes.
and just saying, hey, this is who I am. You know, if your family has any ever needs, please come and join us.
Yeah.
And I learned that from Pastor Greg.
Yes.
Be
yes.
intentional. Be not afraid to talk about the gospel yeah. in these outreach yeah. moments,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
because that's who we really are. Yeah. And how have you been received in doing that, Pastor, from the community, from dealing with different people
yeah.
all over? I know you dealt with politicians, you deal with everyone, mm-hmm. keeping yeah. who you are.
I think that's one of the things that is so paramount is consistency. Consistency plus longevity equals credibility.
Mm.
If you keep doing something long enough, people will believe you. Because I think that we live in a world that when it comes to following Christ, there's a great deal of skepticism, there's a great deal of cynicism. And so when people look at what they see in the media about various religious leaders, they're always of the impression that there is a hoax, there's some monetary benefit that's attached to why pastors do what they do. And I think that when we are consistent in making known that I'm here because of Christ, but I'm also here because of you. So in the course of me being in relationship with a person who doesn't know Christ, I'm virtually there to pray for you, to know what your needs are in terms of your family. Because I think that when we demonstrate the kind of love, like Mike Stitt was saying, that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's a way of life. That's a way of thinking. That when we think of others in a way that causes us to pray for them and to ask when we come back into their presence, how's that loved one doing? I remember when I used to go to the hospital to visit the sick, there would be older folks. And after I went through the fundamental conversation of, you know, how are you doing and everything, they would begin to delve into how I was doing. And it was sort of like a switch, whereas I'm going to visit them to see how they're doing. And the next thing I know, they're ministering to me in the midst of their sickness, in the midst of their pain. And they're going into, how can I pray for you? How can I, you know, be concerned about you? And I think that that's the nature of us being connected to the community. It's not just in the way of the work. It's in the way of the thoughtfulness, the concern. It's about, I wonder how my grandson and I were in the truck the other week, and it was 5 degrees. And we began to pray, and we said, Lord, we just want you to take care of those people who are on the streets now, because there's no way in the world that we could envision them surviving. And we become conscious of it. So it's not just the event that brings us into the realm of dealing with the issues in our community. It's just the awareness of things that go on that we ought to be concerned about.
And Scott, I find myself staying focused by placing an heavy emphasis on my walk and my talk. Mm. And Pastor Craig used the key word of consistent, and I'm trying to do that. You know, I'm human like everyone else, but I know that my walk and my talk, it has to line up together. The people have to recognize the same way I walk and talk, walk by faith and not by sight, has to be the same way, you know, during the week as it is on Sunday. And also making sure that I know the biblical principles. What happens, understanding the biblical principles, placing emphasis on my walk and talk, it keeps us grounded.
And I think that's key. As we're in this community, again, I work in children, youth, and family services, and oftentimes I'm dealing with investigating child abuse situations, and I've got to maintain that spiritual part, even though I see things that could make anyone either cry or upset and some other things, but I've got to maintain who I am and go into situations, even praying before I get in, and maintaining that balance, because I know God put me there.
Yes.
And he put me there for a reason. And so I think that it's important for, in my aspects as pastors, as leaders of our congregation, to lead in being involved in our community, but recognizing we can't do it all by ourselves.
Oh, without a doubt.
We need, as Pastor said, piggyback on those members who are already involved, who are already being in touch with what's going on.
I call those your VIP members. And that in the way of your very influential people, you want to be able to sort of win them, train them, and use them. And that's the area that I think every pastor should be mindful of, because we try to use everybody in like manner, and you can't get water out of a stone. Mm-hmm. That there are some people that are very nice people. They're not going to hurt you, but they're not going to help you either.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to recognize that if you're going to do this work, you got to work with the people who have influence, so that they can, in fact, attract and draw other people in helping in this assignment.
And always have a disposition of learning. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that, I've learned so much from the both of you, both Pastor Craig and you, Scott, learned so much. And we always got to be in a disposition that we can learn and grow.
And as I wrap up, and I want to thank you both for just being, again, available for this show tonight. I know I got you at the last second, but I wanted you to know I'm just very thankful for your being my brothers in ministry and in life, and helping me and shaping me as a person and as a pastor. And I thank you for making yourself available for this conversation. There's a lot more to be said and a lot more to discuss on this topic of outreach. But I want every pastor and everyone to recognize you can't just do it by yourself.
Nope.
Even the Long Ranger had Tonto.
That's right.
That's Batman right. had Robin.
That's right. That's
and
right.
so that's the reality. I mean, you talk about, I always thought the Long Ranger had the Long Ranger was not the Long Ranger. Yeah. Every time he got in trouble, Tonto was there to help him out.
But even when Tonto wasn't there, there was Silver.
Silver. And so we all need help in this journey. And one of the things I want to do in this show is to expose what many people are doing and be able to collaborate with people who are doing some of the same
good things
and partnering with people in our community or around our community who are being impactful. And who said that we have to, you know, be the one that creates everything? Why recreate something when somebody is already doing it?
Amen.
And so, again, to all of you who joined me this evening, we'll be trying to build on this show, maybe even do Facebook Live as recommended, so you can be impactful as we go forward in this show. And if you have other ideas, please let us know. Again, thank you for joining the Scott Dorsey Show. Have a good night. Be blessed, and may God keep you in a mighty way. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
So
excellent.
What's it gonna be? 'Cause people